No. Okay. Yesterday we were learning the concept of Eino Miskaven, which means unintentional. Unintentional, we said, is an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the Halacha of Rabbi Shimon, that Eino Miskaven, unintentional, is allowed on Shabbos. But if there's a concept called Psik Reisha, that literally means chop off the head, but I don't want it to die, meaning it's inevitable to happen, so then it's biblically forbidden, because that creates that the unintentional is called intentional. You can't say, I didn't intend for the hole to happen in the ground. If it's a heavy bench and it's for sure going to make a hole in the ground, I can't say that I didn't intend it to happen, because it's for sure going to happen. If I open the refrigerator door, we learned yesterday, and the light's going to go on for sure, even though I don't intend it to go on, I don't need it to go on, I don't want it to go on, nevertheless, it's still biblically forbidden, if turning on a light is biblically forbidden, because I can't say I didn't want it to happen, it's for sure going to happen. No. Well, it's still rabbinically forbidden.
You can't do it with your foot.
It's still rabbinically forbidden. Even if you do it with your nose, if your nose is big enough that you could do it, it's still rabbinically forbidden. One second. But there's a very interesting din about Psik Reisha, and that is that you're allowed to tell a guy to do something permissible, even though inevitably something forbidden is going to happen. The classic example in Shulchan Aruch that the Alter Rebbe brings down, Shulchan Aruch from the Gemara, whatever. There's a case of a pot that there were coals all around, before Shabbos, there were coals all around the pot, all the way up to the top. Now when I take out the pot, all the coals are going to fall down on each other, which causes extinguishing. When the coals fall on one another, it extinguishes one of them. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, even though my intent is to pick up the pot, that's not forbidden, but inevitably the coals are for sure going to fall down because of gravity or whatever, they're for sure going to fall down and extinguish, so I can't say I didn't want to do it. So therefore it's forbidden. But Shulchan Aruch says, I can ask a guy to pick up the pot. Why can I ask the guy to pick up the pot? Because what I'm asking the guy is permissible. Picking up a pot is permissible. It's just the outcome is not going to be allowed. But what I'm asking the guy is something permissible. So therefore, to put it into modern times, if I have a light, let's say I forgot to turn off the light before Shabbos in the refrigerator, and I realize I need to get my food, so I myself cannot open the door because the light's for sure going to go on. But I'm allowed to call in a guy and say, please open the refrigerator door, because a refrigerator door to open is allowed. There's a consequence coming from it that the light's going to go on. That's Psik Reisha, and Psik Reisha is allowed by a guy. That means if I tell a guy to open a door, and what I'm asking is a permissible thing, either way he does it is going to be a forbidden way. That's not my issue. Like the card in the hotel to open the rooms. Okay. Even though in Eretz Yisrael, I was once in Eretz Yisrael for Shabbos in a hotel, they give you keys for Shabbos if you want, regular keys. Like this, use the cards. But the halacha is, you come and you go to a hotel for Shabbos. Today everything is the card keys. So I can't do it myself, because then electricity, light goes on and you're basically causing electrical things to happen. But I'm allowed to call in a guy from the hotel and say, please open my door. Because what you're asking him to do is open a door. Opening a door is not the problem. The problem is the consequences by opening the door is that electricity is going to work. That doesn't matter by a guy. Okay?
Is it permissible for a kid? Or you cannot have the kid do that? Open the door. Because it's like the Shabbos.
A kid is not a Shabbos goy. A kid is a Jew. In Shulchan Aruch it says, by the way, the Alter Rebbe brings it down, Hilchas Shabbos, by the way, and at the end, it's called Hilchas Chinuch a little bit. Now, the Rebbe says when a kid becomes bar and bas mitzvah, they should do tshuva for all the things they did as kids. Even though they weren't obligated in mitzvahs because they're underage, they're not punishable for it, but nevertheless, they're still, they did something on Shabbos, on the neshama, you know, it's like whatever. So now, for instance, then there's something called psikresha doloi nichalei. Psikresha that I really don't care if it happens or not. I don't want it to happen. I'm not happy if it happens. So, there's one Rishon, Tesis, the beginning of Subas, brings down the Aruch, who is a Rishon, that says it's allowed. It's mutter. Because I'll give you an example. You're not allowed to wash hands on Shabbos over grass. Over grass or plants. Why? Because you're watering the plant. You're watering the grass when you wash your hands. Even though you could say, listen, I don't want to water the grass. I want to wash my hands. This that the grass is becoming watered is unintentional, but it's psikresha. It's inevitable to happen. So over my own lawn, for sure I can't because I want my lawn to grow. Am I allowed to wash my hands over somebody else's lawn? That I couldn't care less if the lawn gets watered or not. So the order holds that you're allowed to. Mamish, you're allowed to. Almost all the other Rishonim, starting from Taisus in the beginning of Ksubis, and all the other Rishonim, all hold, no, you're not allowed to. It's still rabbinically forbidden. In other words, if it's a psikresha that you want it to happen, then it's biblically forbidden. If it's psikresha galei nichle, you don't want it, then it's rabbinic. So there are certain instances that Allah would permit a psikresha galei nichle. Okay? I'll give you a simple example that happens a lot. You walk in the street, you're walking home from shul. Okay, certain houses, you walk by, a light goes on. Yep. Right? Yep. Okay. Or you live in an apartment building, you're not using the elevator on Shabbos, so now you want to walk down the stairs. Many stairs today, when you open the door, a light goes on. Correct? Many bathrooms today, this is a big issue, by the way, you go to hotels or whatever, many times you open a bathroom door, all of a sudden the light goes on. Now, I don't necessarily want the light, especially if I'm walking in the street and the light goes on, so I really not interested in it at all. But there's a lot of other hatatum why you're allowed to walk by a house that even though the light's going to go on, but we'll get to that another time. But there's a lot of hatatum for it.
You're allowed to go around the house? I mean, if that's on your way, should you try to go around?
And you go somewhere else, it's going to happen again. I mean,
no,
there's hatatum for it. What if there's a church across
the street?
So I'm saying there's hatatum to walk by. There's a lot. Yeah.
How about the flush that has a sensor in the bathroom? You don't want that to happen.
Those are all big problems, though.
Is it allowed?
Ideally, it is it's a problem. Many hotels that deal with Fruma people change the bathrooms, Taka, that they don't have automatic flush and all that, because then it's all electric eye.
Security
cameras is a different story. Okay, that's not from 1 foot. But security cameras, because now when they arrive, everything, all the shuls, everybody got security cameras after the incident in Poway and whatever, in Pittsburgh. I mean, everybody got... So there's different types of security cameras. One is motion detected, which is a bigger problem than one that just keeps running the whole time. One that runs the whole time is not an issue, unless if you stand there and pose. But if you pose for a picture, if you walk to somebody's house that has a camera that's always going, and you pose and you look and you smile, and that's not allowed on Shabbos. But if it's not motion detected, motion censored, then for sure you're not doing anything because it's running the whole time. The pill today, the matter, even motion detectors, motion censored ones, and whatever. There's a complicated halachic reason why you're allowed to, but not saying it's the best. If somebody can have a security camera that's not motion censored, it would be better. Now you have a lot of things. Let's say the ring, you know, on the phones. I mean, the bell, the front doorbell, you have ring. So even if you just walk up to the door, it takes a picture of you. I mean, a video, whatever. But the bell, the contemporary posts can permit it. With difficulty, but they permit it.
The motion lights. Why is it different if it's your neighbor and you're walking in the public and if it's your own backyard? Why would that be any different?
Okay, but you means you want it.
No. To go from your house, the muscle, to your back house because you have an extra spillover refrigerator. That's like my house. I have a separate refrigerator in the back house for spillover.
Okay.
Friday night, sometimes I'm like, oh, left something in the back fridge. I go to the back fridge, and in my backyard, I have a ring security camera that's not just a camera, it's a built-in light. So I 100% don't care for the light. I merely pass it.
Yeah, but it's still rabbinically forbidden. You should.
But why is it a problem?
Because this is yours. Versus somebody else's. There's a big halachic difference.
If I pass by a garage and the light goes on, that's considered somebody else's.
Right. This is yours. It's a difference. What?
Because it's your choice to be able to not have it.
Correct. You have it. It's much more. It's a different thing completely. Okay. Anyway. Bottom line, secretion and nechale is basically. Okay, Psikresha Yisud Rabbanan, that's not for now. Psikresha Yisud Rabbanan, some people are permitted, it's also prohibited, some people, whatever. Okay, next. Next is another thing which is forbidden on Shabbos. We just finished Eina Miskaven, unintentional, is allowed unless it's Psikresha. But it's another category of Melachas Machshavis, and that is it has to be Miskayim. It has to be enduring. It has to endure. To give you an example, you ever see cars are very dirty and somebody writes on the back window, wash me. Or, I don't know, now you could do it in your own glasses, but Bukhlal, California, don't want to know what this is. But in New York, in cold places, you walk into a house, the windows are fogged up. There's fog on the windows. Am I allowed to write Good Shabbos or something? Now, that's not an enduring writing. It's not enduring writing because it doesn't last. But it's still rabbinically forbidden. It's still rabbinically forbidden. But it has to be a writing, let's say writing for argument's sake, it has to be something that's durable. For instance, if you write with a dye that doesn't last. Or on a material that it doesn't last. So it's still rabbinically forbidden, by the way, but it's not biblically forbidden because it's not lasting.
When is this forbidden?
Huh?
When is it forbidden?
If it's permanent. Let's say you write with a pen, so then that's a permanent writing. Write with a pen.
All the time?
No, in Shabbos. Right. In Shabbos. Right. It was only in Shabbos.
You can't write on Shabbos.
So
you say
right. No, but I'm saying, what happens if somebody writes on a window that's fogged up?
Well, they're writing, they shouldn't be writing.
Yeah, it's rabbinically forbidden, but it's not biblically forbidden because it doesn't last.
But making a picture is fine because that's not writing on a foggy window, right?
It's same thing like writing. It's still rabbinically forbidden.
No, writing by definition is letters and words, right?
No.
So you can't make a picture of a flower on a foggy window?
You can't.
You can't draw.
Let me ask you a question. Can you draw a picture on paper on Shabbos? What melacha is that? No, it's writing.
Yeah, writing.
Writing doesn't only mean letters. Writing means symbols. If somebody makes $2 signs, it's not letters. It's biblically forbidden.
Well,
no, Minatari, you have to write two letters or two symbols.
If it has
or two
flower,
signs. Huh?
If it put
Pikes
has flower on it, can you cut the flower? The picture of the flower.
No, that's also erasing. You can't draw a flower. I would say write a flower, but you don't write a flower. But you can't draw a flower for writing, and you can't erase a flower because of erasing.
There's
not letters. You can do in between the letters. You could do it not on the letters.
Most packages have decorations on it, right?
Decorations. So, yeah.
You could never rip those decorations between.
It doesn't matter, but you can't open those packages if you're going to be ripping letters. Decorative things are letters.
Well, when you're given a command to your computer to write, I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting here, my computer is dead.
No.
That's the way you write. Indication.
It's still indirect. We're going to get to that. That's a thing called grama. Indirect is also forbidden. Oh. It's also forbidden. Rabbinically, not what?
Is a pencil considered temporary?
No. Print pencil can last for years. We're talking about something that lasts a few minutes. It's not any form of concrete.
You're washing in a car. That can last for weeks.
No, it can't. It fades out right away.
Depends on whose car.
Yeah, exactly.
It depends how thick the dirt is.
Yeah.
If it can last a year, you're not allowed to do it. But that's... okay, so it has to be... okay, it's not for now. It's later. But there's a lot of conditions in the sky. Okay.